Good evening. Appreciate you guys having me this evening. And Craig this morning made sure to tell me on behalf of him and Debbie, he wanted to send his love to the congregation here. So this is my first time to be able to bring a lesson to you this evening. I've been here for area-wide singing before, so it's good to be back. My wife is here with me this evening. That's my wife, Nicole, and my two daughters. My son should be here anytime. That's my oldest daughter, Avery, my little daughter, Hallie, and then my son should be here. He went with his grandpa to Northwest Arkansas, and they're supposed to be dropping him off here, but he must have stopped an aid or no telling what, so he should be here in a little bit. But for full disclosure, you came to hear me speak, but the lesson I'm going to give tonight is from another gentlemen, Nicole and I went to the Affirming the Faith seminar in Oklahoma City this past March, and I heard a speaker there named Wes McAdams, who was a tremendous speaker, and ever since then, I really began listening to his stuff and kind of following him on the internet and YouTube, his lessons, just because he's one of those speakers that just really connects with me and the application, and I've really enjoyed listening to his stuff. So this is a lesson that I have heard from him, and I think it's so powerful because it caused a lot of self-reflection on myself, and still as I go through life, the title of it is The Dangers of Evaluating Ourselves by Comparison, which in our world today is very easy to do. So as I self-reflect on that, I brought this lesson, delivered it, to the J congregation maybe a couple of months ago and thought I would bring that here this evening. So for full disclosure, this is a lesson from Wes McAdams. I have a few things in here, but I'm delivering it. But I want to give him credit for it because it is so good. It's not from all of my work. So again, the title is The Dangers of Evaluating Ourselves by Comparison. So our tendency when we evaluate ourselves is to evaluate ourselves by comparison, because that's naturally what we just intend to do. For example, if someone asks you how you're doing, no matter what doing they're talking about, if they say, how are you doing spiritually, then you sometimes struggle to find a way to even begin to evaluate yourself except by comparison, right? You think, well, compared to that slob, maybe I'm doing pretty good. Or compared to him or her, I don't think I'm doing too well. So we evaluate all kinds of things by comparison. We live in an incredibly comparative and competitive culture. Maybe that's because we tend to think of ourselves as consumers and we have this tendency to evaluate everything by comparison. We evaluate ourselves by comparison, but we evaluate other people and other things by comparison. Chances are, maybe one time or another, maybe even this evening or this morning when you're in services, you're evaluating this church, comparing it to other churches you've been to maybe before, or the singing this evening or this morning, comparing songs to one another, or song leaders to different song leaders, maybe the preacher or the minister, you compare them. So we all have this tendency to compare all kinds of things. But I want us to evaluate our tendency to do that, to think about the comparisons that we're making because we're using some sort of metric when we make a comparison, but we're often unclear about the metric that we're using. So since we're using some sort of a metric and we're unclear about the metric that we're using, we have to use it sometimes in some sort of a standard of measure. Sometimes we might say, well, he's taller than I am, or she's faster than I am, or he did better on the test than I did. Then we're really clear about the metric that we're using to evaluate the difference between one thing or another. But oftentimes, we're really unclear about what standard we're using. We say, well, that is better than that, whatever, or I'm better than they are, or they're better at that than I am, or I am worse than they are. So what do we mean by that? What standard of measure are you using to compare yourself to them? What standards of measure are you using when you say you're better than them or they're better than you? So we need to think about this very soberly, because when we make these kinds of comparisons, not only are our comparisons very subjective, they can also be very destructive. Depending on the metric that we're using to evaluate ourselves and others, it can be very destructive. So think about this phrase that we use a lot. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I hope you feel that you're blessed, but we all often say that comparatively, don't we? And we encourage each other to think of themselves as blessed comparatively. We say, well, look around at everybody else and you'll see how blessed you are. What do we mean by that? Hold on a second. What do we mean by that? What metric are you using to evaluate that you're more blessed than someone else? We say that individually, but we say that collectively also. We say that a lot. When I think about people in other parts of the world, I think about how blessed we are. What do we mean by that? What metric are we using to determine we're more blessed than someone in another part of the world? How are we evaluating if we're more blessed than someone? So here's a question. When we speak of being comparatively blessed, by what metric are we measuring blessedness? So think about that. When you speak of being comparatively blessed, what metric are we measuring the blessedness? Anytime you say, when I met so-and-so, or when I saw how so-and-so lives, or when I visited whatever place, I realized how blessed I really am. You're comparing your blessedness to their blessedness. And by what standard? Sometimes we even encourage one another to practice this, don't we? We say, well, look at so-and-so, look at how their life is, and you'll realize how blessed you are. Again, the standard and the metric that we're using to determine our blessedness can be very subjective and very destructive. We're not all that different than people in the first century. The people in the first century in Jesus' day had the tendency to evaluate their blessedness or someone else's blessedness by a very similar standard. I think we tend to use that today as well. But Jesus comes along and turns that standard on its head. He gives us a brand new metric which to measure our blessedness, and it's going to shock you. The Beatitudes can be shocking to listen to what Jesus says. One way we can think about the Beatitudes, or when Jesus says, blessed are you, we think of that as almost congratulatory. As if Jesus is saying congratulations to those that are whatever in the scripture. So another way we can think of this, and when we read through the Beatitudes here in a second, are to consider yourself blessed if. Okay? Consider yourself blessed if. So when we go through the Beatitudes, we'll look at it as consider yourself blessed if, and then we'll ask the questions. Is this how you consider yourself blessed? Is this when you consider yourself blessed? I bet many of us will want to argue with Jesus. Jesus, you can't be serious when you say that. Consider yourself blessed if, and we'll look at the situations. So listen to what he says. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, starting in verses 20. That's where we'll be. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you. So we'll look at it as consider yourself blessed if. So blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. So consider yourself blessed if you're poor. Consider yourself blessed if you're hungry. Consider yourself blessed if you weep. Now, Matthew's account kind of spiritualizes this a little bit. Consider yourself if you're, consider yourself blessed if you're poor in spirit. But Luke's account is none of that. So we can have to sit with the scripture right here and let it hit home. So consider yourself blessed if you're poor. Consider yourself blessed if you're hungry right now. Consider yourself blessed if you weep right now. Why? So we ask, why, Jesus? Consider myself blessed if I'm poor? Consider myself blessed if I'm hungry? Consider myself blessed if I'm hurting and I'm weeping and I'm sorrowful and I'm suffering? Why would I consider myself blessed in these situations? And he says, because you have the kingdom of God. Consider yourself blessed if you're poor because you have the kingdom of God. Consider yourself blessed if you're hungry because you're promised satisfaction. Consider yourself blessed if you weep because you have the promise of eternal joy and you will laugh. But even right there, we want to argue with Jesus, don't we? What about us that aren't poor? What about us that aren't hungry? What about us that aren't weeping? I feel pretty good. I have quite a bit of money. I'm full. I'm laughing. I'm satisfied. Are you saying we can't have the kingdom of God? Are you saying rich people can't have the kingdom of God? Are you saying full people can't be satisfied by God? Are you saying if I'm enjoying life right now and not weeping, that I can't have eternal joy? I think Jesus would probably say, no. I'm not saying that you can't have the kingdom of God unless you're poor, but it helps. It helps if you're poor. It helps if you're hungry. It helps if you're weeping. In fact, Jesus would say it this way in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 24. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's incredibly difficult. If you don't know hunger or poverty or sorrow, it's incredibly difficult for you to even see the kingdom of God, much less enter it. It's extremely difficult for rich people and full people, laughing people, comfortable people, to find and enter the kingdom of God. Now again, if we know poverty, we know hunger, and we know sorrow, this sounds like really good news, doesn't it? But if we're rich, have money, or we're full, and we're comfortable and happy, this kind of seems scandalous, the opposite. But don't miss the fact that Jesus is turning the measurement by which we tend to measure blessedness on its head. And that was true in the first century, and it's true today. Because don't you know that the people in the first century did the same thing that we do? If you're rich, you say, oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to have all this money. I'm so blessed to be this full. I'm so blessed to be this comfortable. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Actually, consider yourself blessed if you're poor. Consider yourself blessed if you're hungry. Consider yourself blessed if you're weeping. Because it's you that knows poverty, you that knows hunger, you that knows sorrow, that can see what you need to see and appreciate what you need to appreciate. And he goes on, it gets even more difficult. He says, blessed are you, so we'll continue reading on here, or we'll look at it as consider yourself blessed if. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Consider yourself blessed when you're poor, when you're hungry, when you're sorrowful, when people hate you and exclude you, revile you and spurn your name as evil. Nobody thinks like that, do they? Consider yourself blessed if those things happen to you. People in the first century thought like people of today do. If you're famous and everybody loves you and people applaud when you come down the street and you think those people are so blessed, I'm so blessed to have people like me. I'm so blessed to be famous. I'm so blessed to be well-liked. And Jesus says, no, 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 hang on. That's not how we measure blessedness in the kingdom. We don't measure blessedness in the kingdom by dollars and cents. We don't measure blessedness according to the weight of the food that you have. We don't measure blessedness according to how much applause you get. In fact, he turns everything upside down on its head and he says, consider yourself blessed when you're hated. Consider yourself blessed when you're excluded, when you're reviled, when people spurn your name as evil. He says, rejoice and leap for joy. I mean, again, that makes you want to argue with Jesus. We want to say, that's not how you measure blessedness. But he says it is in the kingdom. So why? The question is why? What is it that poor people and hungry people, weeping people, persecuted people have in common? What is it that they have in common? They are desperate. They're desperate for someone to rescue them. They're desperate for God. Their awareness of their need and dependence on God is heightened because of their situation. They are poor in spirit because they're poor in pocketbook. They realize, I desperately need God. They can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They don't even have boots, let alone bootstraps. These are people who realize and recognize and are aware of the fact that they desperately need God, and they cry out to God like the psalmist saying, "Rescue me, deliver me, save me. You are my only hope." And those are the kind of people that Jesus is talking to, saying, stop. Stop thinking that the rich and the famous and the powerful and the popular and the well-liked people are the blessed ones. They're not the blessed ones. You're the blessed one. Consider yourself blessed if you're poor, hungry, sorrowful, persecuted, because you see what you need to see. You're desperate for the help of God. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God's justice. You desperately need him to show up and save you and deliver you. And that's why Jesus says the kingdom belongs to you. That's why these promises belong to you. You're hungry right now, but you won't be for long. You're sorrowful right now, but you won't be sorrowful forever. You're poor right now, but you won't be poor forever. This is only going to be for a moment. So consider yourself blessed if your situation has heightened your need for total dependence on God. So we look at verse 24, and it keeps getting harder. It says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." If Jesus is saying in the Beatitudes, blessed are you when, or blessed are you if, blessed are you poor, then he's saying the opposite to the rich, isn't he? So if we look at it one way, we're going to look at it opposite from the other. So don't consider yourself blessed just because you consider yourself rich. Don't consider yourself blessed just because you're full. Don't consider yourself blessed just because you're comfortable and having a good time. Don't consider yourself blessed because people like you, speak well of you, because all of those things are going to be gone in a moment. It's just a vapor. So you're full now, you have money now, but all of those things are momentary. All this stuff, all these ways that we measure how blessed our lives are, it's going to be gone on this earth. But when we put our hope in that and our anchor our life to that and measure our blessedness by that, we are measuring our blessedness as something that only lasts for a moment. Is Jesus saying it's a sin to be rich? Of course not. He's not saying it's a sin to be rich, but he's warning us about something that was just as true then as it is today. Temporary comfort can blind us to permanent realities. Think about that. Say that in your head for a second. Temporary comfort has the tendency to blind us to permanent realities. The more rich we are, the more full we are, the more comfortable we are, the more popular we are, the more famous we are, the harder it gets to see the permanent reality. There's an incredible danger in being comfortable. But yet we tend to adopt a worldly metric by how we measure blessedness. And we say, I'm so blessed to be comfortable. Jesus says, stop. That's how the world measures comfort. I'm so blessed that people like me. I'm so blessed that people don't say bad things about me. I'm so blessed that I'm not persecuted. Jesus says, no, that's not the way to think about things, because there's a real danger when you get rich and comfortable, full and satisfied, that you will not even be able to see your desperate need for God. When you're full and when you're hurting, that's when you begin to see the permanent reality. So rather than asking, am I blessed with more wealth, possessions, freedoms than others, Jesus asks us to ask, am I blessed with enough poverty, hunger, persecution, and sadness that I realize my need for God? So doesn't that turn everything on its head? Jesus teaches us a whole new way to measure blessedness, a whole new way to consider ourselves as blessed. And it has nothing to do with comparison. It's not about looking at my life and saying, well, I'm more blessed than you are, or I'm more blessed than they are. I feel so blessed because I look at my life compared to yours. It has nothing to do with comparison. We're simply asking ourselves, have I been blessed with enough hunger, poverty, and persecution and sadness that I recognize my need for God? Am I desperate for God? So let's put it this way. Truly blessed people are those whose circumstances have made them aware of their need for God. That's what it is to be truly blessed. For us to become aware of our desperate need for God. So if you've had sorrow that has revealed to you your desperate need for God, consider yourself blessed. If you've had poverty that has revealed to you your desperate need for God, consider yourself blessed. If you've been hated by people and rejected because you're a follower of God, consider yourself blessed because you are aware of your desperate need for Him. And the more we are aware of our need for Him, the more blessed that we are and the more blessed that we become. So what do we do with all this information? If this is true, if poor people and hungry people and sad people, persecuted people should consider themselves blessed, what do we do with all this information? I think a large part of it's to stop comparing ourselves to one another. Like I said at the beginning, we live in a society, in a social media society, that all we do is compare ourselves to each other. We look at what somebody else has and think, I want that. We think we need that because they do, or we want to keep up with them because they do. So stop comparing ourselves to one another. That's not how you measure blessedness. We don't measure our blessedness, again, according to dollars and cents. You can't measure how blessed you are according to the money in the bank, or how comfortable you are, or how well people treat you. That's not how people in the kingdom of God measure blessedness. And stop looking down on other people that have less things and considering them less blessed than you are. Stop looking up at people that have more money or more things than you or more food or whatever it is, more material possessions than you or a more comfortable life than you and considering them to be more blessed than you are. That's materialism. Materialism could be defined as counting or considering or measuring our blessedness according to material goods. That's not how you measure blessedness. We measure blessedness according to our relationship with God. And when you recognize your desperate need for Him and He says, to you belongs the kingdom. To you belongs eternal joy. To you belongs the face of God. To you belongs the title sons and daughters of God. That's how you measure blessedness. So maybe you're here this evening, you're hurting, you're sorrowful, and you recognize how desperately you need God's help. Consider yourself blessed. We come together as brothers and sisters and we share what we have with one another. Not looking up because someone has more than us or looking down because they don't have what we have. We come here and gather together because we all recognize or should recognize our desperate need for Him. Remember, Jesus didn't come as a physician to heal those that were already well. He came here for those that knew they were sick. So if you're filled with guilt, sorrow, or shame, consider yourself blessed. Because Jesus came to bless and heal people just like you. So we need to share our burden. So maybe there's somebody here this evening and you're ready to receive what Jesus has to give. Maybe you come in poverty of spirit, saying, I have nothing, I am nothing. I'm broken and I need to be fixed. I'm sick. I need to be healed. I'm guilty. I need to be pardoned. Jesus came for people just like you also. Maybe it's time for you to be baptized into Jesus and receive what He has to give, or maybe just with other Christians to share your burden and pray for you and encourage you. If you have any needs that this congregation can help with, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.